Senate will come to order. Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Roll call for Thursday, February 11th. Anderson.
Here.
Bebout.
Here.
Burns.
Here.
Case.
Here.
Coe.
Here.
Cooper.
Here.
Dockstader.
Here.
Elliott.
Here.
Esquibel.
Here.
Geis.
Here.
Hastert. Hastert. Honeycutt.
Here.
Jennings.
Here.
Johnson.
Here.
Landon.
Here.
Larson.
Here.
Martin.
Here.
Massey.
Here.
Meyer.
Here.
Meyer S.
Here.
Nicholas. Perkins.
Here.
Peterson.
Here.
Ross.
Here.
Schiffer.
Here.
Scott.
Here.
Sessions.
Here.
Townsend.
Here.
Von Flatern. President Hines.
Here.
Hastert. Nicholas.
Excused.
Nicholas excused. 29 present, 1 excused.
Prayer, my Father Clunkton.
We gather this morning, we remember in a special way those who suffer from the effects of cancer or who have lost their lives to this dreaded disease. Please grant a cure. And in the meantime, help us to be a source of comfort and afflicted. Lord, we also ask that as we set ourselves to the business of this day, that the introductions of bills and resolutions go smoothly, that our discussions of the matters on second reading be informative, and that our votes be graced with wisdom and prudence. Grant us a share in your creative power as we continue to craft legislation and govern well the people of this great state. Be with us on this floor and in the committees to which we have been assigned, so that we may be governed by the light of truth and justice. We humbly make this prayer as good and faithful servants. Amen.
Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Will the reading clerk please read the Journal Committee report?
Mr. President, your Journal Committee reports that the Journal of February the 10th, 2010, has been read and recommends that it be approved. Senator Dockstader, Chairman.
Are there any objections? There being none, the report is adopted. Doctor of the Day, Eric Liddell, M.D. from Cheyenne. Nurse for the day is Mary Ann Duncan from the Crook County Medical Services District. Thought for the day, life is like riding a bicycle. To keep your balance, you must keep moving. Introduction, reading, and references of bills. Senate File 2, first reading of the bill.
Senate File Number 2, sponsored by the Management Council, Appropriations for the Legislature, an act relating to appropriations for the legislature.
Senator Anderson. We're ready for introduction on Senate File 2, Appropriations for the Legislature.
Thank you, Mr. President. Sorry for the... Mr. President, I move for the introduction of Senate File 2. Senate File 2 contains appropriations for the general operation of the legislature, a branch of government, It includes appropriations for such things as salary for legislators, general administrative support. There are some small appropriations for some various projects in that. And it also accommodates for a legislative redistricting that's going to come up in the next biennium. This bill has been reviewed in detail and approved by the Management Council. So that, with that explanation, Mr. President, I would move for introduction of Senate File 2 and ask for your favorable consideration.
Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson?
Aye.
Bebout?
Aye.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
Aye.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
Aye.
Dockstader?
Aye.
Elliott?
Aye.
Esquivel?
Aye.
Geis?
Aye.
Hastert?
Aye.
Honeycutt?
Aye.
Jennings?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Landon?
Aye.
Larson?
Aye.
Martin?
Aye.
Massey?
Aye.
Meyer?
Aye.
Meyer S. Nicholas?
Aye.
Perkins?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Ross?
Aye.
Schiffer?
Aye.
Sessions? Scott?
Aye.
Sessions?
Aye.
Townsend?
Aye.
Von Flatern?
Aye.
President Hines?
Aye.
Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed. 30 ayes.
Senate File 2, having received a two-thirds majority vote, is referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. Senate File 67, first reading of the bill.
Senate File Number 67, sponsored by Senator Ross, Pharmacy Benefits Management, and Act Relating to Health Insurance.
Senator Ross.
File 67, Pharmacy Benefit Management. This bill is a bill, a transparency bill, that requires pharmacy benefit managers to register with the insurance department. There's a file, there's a small fee that goes with that to maintain the registration. And in essence, what it is a disclosure bill. It establishes a standard of good faith and fair dealing. It requires a PBM who is kind of a middleman to disclose through the insurance commissioner's office the nature of their business and their contract, and so as to allow some disclosure for particularly the covered entity, which is generally an insurance company, and their enrollees as to the nature of their pharmacy benefits. Now, this bill is pared down significantly from previous bills. As I said, it's simply a transparency bill. It still provides for confidentiality and still would allow the public or those that have insurance to know what their benefits are and how the insurer is what the fees are, what the pharmacy benefit manager's skin in the game is. And what I think is most interesting is when you look at the fiscal note, it is anticipated that there would be an expenditure decrease in the enterprise fund of about $865,000. This bill is an attempt to try to allow for full faith and fair dealing and transparency with regard to the activities of pharmacy benefit managers who are, as I say, this middleman in this game. And what we're seeing in the state of Wyoming is the demise of the small independent pharmacy in the state of Wyoming. And this bill, I believe, will assist not only in reducing costs of prescriptions, but also saving our local independently owned pharmacy benefit, our pharmacies. So I'd urge your favorable consideration.
Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson?
Aye.
Bebout?
Aye.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
No.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
No.
Dockstader?
Aye.
Elliott?
Aye.
Esquibel?
Aye.
Geis?
No.
Hastert?
Aye.
Honeycutt?
Aye.
Jennings?
No.
Johnson?
Aye.
Landon?
Aye.
Larson?
No.
Martin?
No.
Massey?
Aye.
Meyer?
Aye.
Meyer S? Nicholas?
Aye.
Perkins?
Aye.
Peterson?
No.
Ross?
Aye.
Schiffer?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
Sessions?
Aye.
Townsend?
No.
Von Flatern?
Aye.
President Hines?
Aye.
Coe, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 21 ayes, 9 noes.
Senate File 67, having received a two-thirds majority vote, is referred to Committee Number 7, Corporation. Senate File 68, first reading of the bill.
Senate File Number 68, sponsored by Senator Ross, Supreme Court Peace Officer, and Act Relating to Peace Officers.
Senator Ross.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move introduction of Senate File 68, Supreme Court Peace Officer. Ladies and gentlemen, this topic, I should say, was a joint interim committee bill that failed introduction in the House. This bill is pared down from what it was. Apparently, there was a feeling that the Supreme Court was going to be creating its own police force out there. And as a result, there was an overwhelming desire not to have that occur. Well, simply what this bill does is there is a court security officer there. He's already a member of, he was a member of this legislature at one point in time, peace officer trained, post-trained, highway patrol, the whole nine yards. He would be an employee of the, Supreme Court, doesn't affect retirements or anything else like that. What we've done now is to limit this officer's authority to protection of the court itself, any violations of law in the court, and if in fresh pursuit of a criminal has peace officer authority. So it's pared down dramatically. Fortunately, I had one slot open, so here it is, and I'd urge your favorable consideration.
Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson?
Aye.
Bebout?
Aye.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
No.
Coe?
No.
Cooper?
Aye.
Dockstader?
Aye.
Elliott?
Aye.
Esquibel?
Aye.
Geis? Hastert?
Aye.
Honeycutt?
Aye.
Jennings?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Landon?
Aye.
Larson?
No.
Martin?
Aye.
Massey?
Aye.
Meyer?
Aye.
Meyer S?
Aye.
Nicholas?
No.
Perkins?
Aye.
Peterson?
No.
Ross?
Aye.
Schiffer?
Aye.
Scott? Sessions?
Aye.
Townsend?
No.
Von Flatern?
Aye.
President Hines?
Aye.
Closing vote?
Meyer, aye to no.
Meyer, aye to no. Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed. 23 ayes, 7 noes.
Senate File 68, having received a two-thirds majority vote, is referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. Senate File 69, first reading of the bill.
Senate File Number 69, sponsored by the Natural Resources Committee, Natural Resource Large Project Funding, and Act Relating to the Wyoming Wildlife and Natural Resource Funding Act.
Senate Senator Burns.
Natural Resource Large Project Funding. Mr. President, as the body will recall, about 4 years ago when we passed the Wyoming Wildlife and Natural Resource Funding Act, one of the checks we put in there was that any large project, and by large project the threshold was $200,000 or over in the aggregate, those projects would have to come back and be approved by the legislature. Mr. President, this is a compilation of those projects. If it gets introduced, it'll go through a committee, and I would be glad to go through the specific projects at that time in committee of the whole.
Chief Clerk, recall the roll.
Anderson.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
Dockstader.
Aye.
Elliott.
Aye.
Esquibel.
Aye.
Geis.
Aye.
Hastert.
Aye.
Honeycutt.
Aye.
Jennings.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Landon.
Aye.
Larson.
Aye.
Martin.
Aye.
Massey.
Aye.
Meyer.
Aye.
Meyer S.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Perkins.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Ross. Schiffer,
aye.
Scott,
aye.
Sessions,
aye.
Townsend,
aye.
Bonflatern,
aye.
President Hines.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing vote closed. 30 ayes.
Senate File 69, having received a two-thirds vote majority, is referred to Committee Number 6, Travel. Senate File 70, first reading of the bill.
Senate File 70, sponsored by Senator Burns, Local Prohibition of Poker, and Act Relating to Gambling.
Senator Burns.
Mr. President, I move for introduction, Senate File 70, Local Prohibition of Poker. Mr. President, in the past few years, the two gray areas have grown up, have come up around the playing of poker. One is whether or not local jurisdictions have the authority to ban it, or regulate it, or not. And the other is, there's been a question up in my county, as to whether public establishments can hold games or not. We're not talking about games where they take a rake. We're talking about social games. But the question becomes, if the establishment is open to the public, can a stranger come in and sit down? And there's a question as to whether that becomes a bona fide social relationship. So what this bill basically does is it says that this makes it clear and gives local jurisdictions the authority to ban it or regulate it, both municipalities and counties. And the other thing it does is it exempts the game of poker from the bona fide social relationship requirement.
Chief Clerk, will call the roll.
Anderson.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
Dockstader.
Aye.
Elliott.
Aye.
Esquibel.
Aye.
Geis.
No.
Hastert.
Aye.
Honeycutt.
Aye.
Jennings.
No.
Johnson.
Aye.
Landon.
Aye.
Larson. Martin.
Aye.
Massey.
No.
Meyer.
No.
Meyer S. Nicholas.
Aye.
Perkins.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Ross.
Aye.
Schiffer.
Aye.
Scott.
No.
Sessions.
No.
Townsend.
No.
Bonflatern.
No.
President Hines.
Aye.
Close case, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing vote closed. 20 ayes, 10 noes.
Senate File 70, having received a two-thirds majority vote, is referred to Committee Number 6, Travel. Senator Massey.
Thank you, Mr. President. May I have privilege of the floor?
You may.
Wanted to make an announcement and recognize some folks who have just come into our gallery and tied in with the lovely daffodils that we have on our desk. The American Cancer Society, in partnership with the Wyoming Comprehensive Cancer Control Consortium, the Wyoming Primary Care Association, and Pfizer, invite us to attend the 5th Annual Celebration of Hope Luncheon, which is today in the basement of the Hersher Building. With regard to the daffodils, they've been provided to the body on behalf of these organizations against cancer. There are many cancer victims and survivors with us today. In the balcony, you'll find them adorned with the yellow sashes, and they're all around us. We're surrounded. Today's participants are focused on hope. Hope is something that survivors must find within themselves. With hope, they find meaning. With hope, their lives go on. Cancer survivors are their heroes. Heroes in a way that they face daily struggles, in the way that they face these daily struggles. Heroes in the way they do everything with an unbreakable spirit for life. All of you survivors, please stand around us, and please join me in welcoming you to the Senate.
Thank you very much for visiting us today, and also thank you for the daffodils. We wish you luck in your, and hope it progresses well. Senate File 71, first reading of the bill.
Senate File 71, sponsored by Senator Hastert, disposal of remains military personnel and act relating to the disposition of remains.
Senator Hastert.
Thank you, Mr. President. I bring to you Senate File 71 and for introduction and ask for your favorable consideration. Mr. President, what I'm doing with this here is that state law on disposition of remains does not currently provide for the accommodation of the expressed written wishes of service members through execution of the federally prescribed records of emergency data, Mr. President. And what we're trying to do as a proposed action is designate to clearly define the PAD, which is the personal authorized to direct disposition, and hopefully to limit issues of civil litigation and issues during an extremely difficult time for families. So that's the essence of the bill, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Coe.
Point of order, I think the senator has to move the bill, and I don't believe he did, unless I missed something.
Senator Hastert.
Mr. Chairman, my apologies. I'd like to move Senate File 71 and ask for your favorable consideration.
Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
Dockstader.
Aye.
Elliott.
Aye.
Esquibel. Geis,
aye.
Hastert,
aye.
Honeycutt,
aye.
Jennings,
aye.
Johnson,
aye.
Landon,
aye.
Larson,
aye.
Martin,
aye.
Massey,
aye.
Meyer,
aye.
Meyer S,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Perkins,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Ross,
aye.
Schiffer,
aye.
Scott,
aye.
Sessions, Townsend.
Aye.
Bonflatern.
Aye.
President Hines.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 30 ayes.
Senate File 71, having received a two-thirds majority vote, is referred to Committee Number 8, Transportation. Senate File 72, first reading of the bill.
Senate File 72, sponsored by the Appropriations Committee, Wyoming Retirement Plan Contributions 2, and Act relating to the Wyoming Retirement System.
Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move for the introduction of Senate File 72 and ask for your favorable consideration. Folks, this is an important bill. You'll see that there is a significant appropriation on the bill. All of the dollars that are on the bill are also already profiled in our budget. The governor referred to this. The JAC committee, frankly, has a difference in opinion with the governor with respect to how this should be handled. The governor recommended about $48 million to be held into a suspense account until there's further review of what's happening with what we call the big retirement plan. We had multiple hearings from the retirement commission and what we folks, and what we learned as follows. The retirement plan, which is the general plan, was never designed to accommodate payment of COLAs. Over the years, we have paid out COLAs. As a result of that, the account never got large enough to handle a catastrophic event that we've seen in the last 2 years. In the last 2 years, with the investment income, the account has dropped about $2 billion in value. It's recovered about $1 billion of that dollar, so we're down $1 billion. No amount of investment is going to recover the loss. You cannot invest your way out of $1 billion. The only way to begin to address the problem is to recognize there's about a $50 million a year liability to bring this account up from about 80% fully funded to 90% fully funded. The governor said, well, let's take 1 year of that and put it in suspense. The JAC frankly disagreed. We think you ought to take the $48 million or start hitting it on the nose and recognizing that over the biennium there's a $100 million obligation. To accommodate that amount of need, you have to raise the investment in or the retirement contributions by 2.87%. What JAC is recommending is that half of that be given by the or assigned to the employee and actually paid by the employee, and the other half be paid by the state. So we split the load or the distribution among the state and the employees. Now, you will also recall that presently the employee share of the 11.25% of the retirement contribution is actually being paid by the state right now. In this instance, we're recommending that the 1.43% that's newly added on actually be paid by employees. So beginning July under this bill will be the first time in a long time, in about 10 or 15 years, that employees are actually having to pay to contribute to their retirement. And it's a bill that needs to be done, so the issue is do you want to begin to address the problem now or wait a year? If you wait a year, we'll be back here next year looking for another $50 million. We would ask that you support the bill, introduce the bill, and give it take it through the process. It is important. We know that it's going to be a hit to employees, but the loss is there. We need to pick it up, and the state is doing its part.
Chief Clerk, we'll call the roll.
Anderson.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
Dockstader.
Aye.
Elliott.
Aye.
Esquibel. Esquibel.
No.
Geis.
Aye.
Hastert.
No.
Honeycutt. Jennings.
Aye.
Johnson.
No.
Landon.
Aye.
Larson.
Aye.
Martin.
No.
Massey.
No.
Meyer.
Aye.
Meyer S.
No.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Perkins.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Ross.
Aye.
Schiffer.
No.
Scott.
Aye.
Sessions.
No.
Townsend. Von Flatern?
Aye.
President Hines?
Aye.
Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed. 21 ayes, 9 noes.
Senate File 72, having received a two-thirds majority vote, is referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriation. Senate File 75, first reading of the bill.
Senate File 75, sponsored by Senator Nicholas, School District Health Insurance 2, and Act Relating to School District Employee Benefits.
Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. President, and I move for the introduction of Senate File 75 and ask for your favorable consideration. During the last 2 years, we've been looking in the Appropriations Committee trying to assess whether or not to what to do with the school districts with respect to whether or not they should be joining the state plan. We've never come up with a good solution for it. Every time that we come up with a solution, it just doesn't seem to, there's always one district or two districts that really likes the system the way that it is right now. But we know that there are particularly some smaller districts that on occasion have not been able to find insurance. So all this bill does is just provide a mechanism for school districts to get into the state plan. Once you're in the state plan, you're stuck there, you stay forever. There is an appropriation on it that dealt with additional staffing. We don't expect that the staffing will be necessary, so I expect that the appropriation to be deleted. And all this is going to do is allow school districts that choose to, on their own, when and if they want to enter into the state retirement plan and be assured along with other folks in state employees. The districts would have to pay the full cost of the insurance, just like the state employees, so they just get to become part of a larger group. Just one more option out there. Urge your consideration.
Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson?
Aye.
Bebout?
Aye.
Burns?
Aye.
Kate?
Aye.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
Aye.
Dockstader?
Aye.
Elliott?
Aye.
Esquibel? Geis,
aye.
Hastert,
aye.
Honeycutt,
aye.
Jennings,
aye.
Johnson,
aye.
Landon,
aye.
Larson,
aye.
Lynn,
no.
Massey,
no.
Meyer,
aye.
Meyer S.,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Perkins,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Ross,
aye.
Schiffer,
aye.
Scott,
no.
Sessions, Townsend?
Aye.
Von Slatern?
Aye.
President Hines?
Aye.
Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed. 25 ayes, 5 noes.
Senate File 75, having received a two-thirds majority vote, is referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriation. Senate File 74, first reading of the bill.
Senate File Number 74, sponsored by Senator Bebout. Subdivisions, parcels, an act relating to subdivisions.
Senator Bebout.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move for the introduction of Senate File 74, subdivision parcels, and ask for your favorable consideration. Ladies and gentlemen of the Senate, I bring this bill to you to try to eliminate some confusion that has come up relative to parcels and the definition of parcels. You may recall a couple of years ago, I think it was Senate File 11, we passed it, went into the subdivision laws and got into the discussion about 35 acres, 140 acres. And in that, we had a definition of parcel. What this Senate File attempts to do is solve a problem that has been brought to my attention and may exist out there. And if you have a parcel of land, now this is not in a subdivided plot, but a parcel of land, it could be 3 acres, it could be 5, it could be 45, and you own that, and you buy the piece of land from somebody that is contiguous with that, there has been an opinion out there that now once you buy that and it's contiguous, it becomes one parcel. And if you wanted to sell off either parcel that you had that was separate before, you would not be allowed to do that. So it would be considered one parcel. You have to re-subdivide it. It's an issue of fairness. I will tell you that it's been interesting to come up with language. I've talked to 5 of the esteemed attorneys in various parts of this body and outside. I have 5 opinions. I think what we have is workable, but I would hope that you would vote this in and let us go to the committee, and if there's better language, we'll come up with it. We're trying to take care of a problem that I don't think was ever intended by this body to show that if you bought a parcel contiguous, it now becomes one. Thank you.
Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson?
Aye.
Bebout?
Aye.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
Aye.
Coe? Cooper,
aye.
Dockstader,
aye.
Elliott,
aye.
Esquibel,
aye.
Geis,
aye.
Hastert,
aye.
Honeycutt,
aye.
Jennings,
aye.
Johnson,
aye.
Landon.
Aye.
Larson.
Aye.
Martin.
Aye.
Massey.
Aye.
Meyer.
Aye.
Meyer S.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Perkins.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Ross.
Aye.
Schiffer.
Aye.
Scott.
Aye.
Sessions.
Aye.
Townsend.
Aye.
Von Flatern.
Aye.
President Hines.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 30 ayes.
Senate File 74, having received a two-thirds majority vote, is referred to Committee Number 3, Revenue. Senate File 76, first reading of the bill.
Senate File 76, sponsored by Senator Dockstader, State Loan and Investment Grants Criteria, and Act Relating to Public Funds.
Senator Dockstader.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move Senate File 76, State Loan and Investment Grants, and ask for your favorable consideration. This legislation comes at the request of a municipality that's asked to drop its tax rates and still apply for a state loan and investment loan or investment board loan or grant. As you can see on page 2, starting on line 14, the proposal is to drop the required mill threshold from 11 to 10 for counties and for municipalities from 7 to 6. The idea started when a mayor, a former seven-term legislator himself, noticed that most of his residents were senior citizens. That seems to be happening in a lot of our rural Wyoming towns. Younger families are starting to move outside the town. The senior citizens are living within the community. So ironically, the people being taxed to the fullest extent are our senior citizens. So in summary, if one could put this proposal into a category, it's a request to drop taxes while still allowing a public entity to pursue some state funding without being directed to tax to its fullest extent. Think about it. What a concept, reducing taxes. Mr. President, I move Senate File 76 for your consideration.
Chief Clerk, will call the roll.
Anderson.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
Dockstader.
Aye.
Elliott.
Aye.
Esquibel. Geis,
aye.
Hastert,
aye.
Honeycutt,
aye.
Jennings,
aye.
Johnson,
aye.
Landon,
aye.
Larson,
aye.
Martin,
aye.
Massey,
aye.
Meyer,
aye.
Meyer S.,
aye.
Nicholas,
no.
Perkins,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Ross,
aye.
Schiffer, Scott.
Aye.
Sessions.
Aye.
Townsend.
Aye.
Von Flatern.
Aye.
President Hines.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 28 ayes, 2 noes.
Senate File 76, having received a two-thirds majority vote, is referred to Committee Number 9. Minerals. Senate File 77, first reading of the bill.
Senate File Number 77, sponsored by Senator Hastert, Career and Technical Training Grants, and Act Relating to Labor and Employment.
Senator Hastert.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like to move Senate File 77 and ask for your favorable consideration. Mr. President, this is the bill that passed through the Senate last year with the appropriation on it to not only implement the program, but to carry it through for the biennium. It passed through the other chambers' committees and then didn't quite make it to the last leg. I'm bringing it back this year, Mr. Chairman, or Mr. President. It does not have the appropriation in it to run the program, Mr. President. Simply what we'd like to do is it authorizes the Department of Workforce Services to implement the program or to set the guidelines for the program and have it ready to go. And then if we're able to fund it in the future, then that would be allowed for. And Mr. President, to remind the body, what we were doing last year is Department Workforce Services has indicated that in the next 15 years, 74% of the jobs in the state of Wyoming will be of the career and technical nature. This is a mechanism to get the workforce ready for that need that business will have in the future. Thank you, Mr. President.
Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson.
Aye.
Bebout.
No.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
No.
Coe.
No.
Cooper.
No.
Dockstader.
No.
Elliott.
Aye.
Esquibel.
Aye.
Geis.
No.
Hastert.
Aye.
Honeycutt.
Aye.
Jennings.
No.
Johnson.
Aye.
Landon.
Aye.
Larson.
Aye.
Martin.
Aye.
Massey.
Aye.
Meyer.
No.
Meyer S.
Aye.
Nicholas.
No.
Perkins.
No.
Peterson.
No.
Ross.
No.
Schiffer.
No.
Scott.
Aye.
Sessions.
Aye.
Townsend.
No.
Bonflatern.
Aye.
President Hines.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing vote closed. 16 ayes, 14 noes.
Senate File 77 have failed to receive a two-thirds majority vote. Senate File 77 have failed introduction. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. President, may I have privilege of the floor?
You may.
Thank you, Mr. President. Members of the Senate, we've just concluded our preliminary list of all of the bills for introduction today. I wanted to tell you that we have two more bills, if my counting is correct, for introduction. By time standards, we can introduce those this afternoon. We can't do those now. So this afternoon, it's my plan right after to have Senators Burns and Sessions introduce House Bill or Senate File 78 and Senate File 79. After you have done that, we will have made all of our introductions of Senate files. So with that, I just wanted you to be informed. 78, 79, hopefully right after lunch, following second reading and before general file. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator Nicholas.
Mr. President, privilege of the floor.
You may.
Thank you. With respect to the budget that's coming up, as I told you, that we're going to run it right after the crossover day following the 19th, the following the week. For those of you that would like to or have ideas of amendments that you would like to have that require some expertise, if you will, to prepare the amendments, if you'll get your request to me, then we'll funnel the request through our staff, and the staff will then get particularly together with the budget division with A&I. Let me give you some examples. People have said, what is the amount of out-of-state travel that's in the various budgets, and if we wanted to remove the out-of-state travel, how would we go about it? That's a complicated issue because, for example, the first question is, are you wanting just to eliminate general fund out-of-state travel, or do you also want to get federal fund out-of-state travel? When you get into questions with respect to questions like you got advertising, I'm interested in going in and deleting advertising budgets. What happens is a lot of these items are in the 200 series of the budgets, and they're not identified, so you can't simply go into it. There was a criticism, for example, for Department of Health doing some ad campaigns. Some of it was paid by tobacco funds, some was paid by general fund, and some was paid by federal funds. So some of these issues are complicated, and there are different ways to approach it. So our interest is not simply getting up and arguing that, hey, you don't know what you're doing and kill the amendment. So if you really have an interest in those things, whether we support them or not as the Appropriations Committee, we would help you figure out the best way to approach the matter. So let us know when we'll get those requests off. I've already had questions with respect to the Department of Corrections sexual offender appropriations and that were cut out in the 10% cut. And once again, if you get to us early, we'll get them to the staff. We'll get the questions answered. If you need amendments, we'll help get them drafted. Thank you.
Thank you. Reports from standing committees.
February the 11th, 2010, Mr. President, your committee number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, to whom was referred Senate File 35, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. I, Senators Dockstader, Escobel, Landon, Von Fladern, no, Senator Geis, Senator Von Fladern, Chairman.
Senator Von Fladern.
File 35 has an appropriation in the way federal funds are handled. I'd ask that it be re-referred to Committee 2 Appropriations.
Without objection, Senate File 35 is referred to Committee Number 2 Appropriations. Okay, bills on second reading. Senate File 3. Second reading of this Senate file.
Senate File 3, sponsored by the Agriculture Committee. Apiary laws.
Senate File 3, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a 3rd time? Hearing no objections, it is so ordered. Senate File 4, second reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 4, sponsored by the Corporations Committee, Special District Elections.
Senate File 4, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a 3rd time? Hearing no objections, it is so ordered. Senate File 5, second reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 5, sponsored by the Corporations Committee, Special Districts, Public Roads.
Senate File 5, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a 3rd time? Hearing no objections, it is so ordered. Senate File 6, second reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 6, sponsored by the Corporations Committee, Improvement and Service Districts.
Okay. There is an amendment. Will the reading clerk read in the amendment?
Senate File 6, second reading amendment number 1, page 1, line 4.
Senator Cooper.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 6 and would refer you to the good chairman of the Corporations Committee, who is someplace.
Senator Nicholas.
No,
we're on second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 6.
Mr. President, I was referring to the corporation's chairman, Senator Casey doesn't seem to be here, so I'll go ahead and explain the amendment then. Mr. President, what this is yesterday, as we discussed on this bill, there was some concerns about providing the possibility of liens being put on property by the various special or improvement service districts, excuse me. And because of the system that we now use working through the treasurer of the counties, and there was a email from one of the county clerks from Fremont, or from the county clerk Fremont County, suggesting that there was a problem if we did that, we may weaken the tax sale possibilities as we use now, and therefore we went ahead and provided this amendment to delete that from this bill, and that's the explanation, Mr. President, of this amendment.
Senator Case. Excuse me.
Lights on, though.
Go ahead.
The light's not on up here, I'll assure you that. Thank you, Mr. President. I'll just start over. My colleague did a great job on the amendment. We did send out a notice to all county treasurers via email. They responded. Everybody that responded said, we don't need this lien statute. We got the tax sale process. There's really not a conceivable way that would get in the way, so remove it from the bill. So the committee, I think, is in agreement as well that we should take it from the bill. So thank you, Mr. President.
Further discussion? Are you ready for the question? All in favor of the amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Amendment has passed. Senate File 6, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? The question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Senator Hastert. Senator Elliott, excuse me.
Mr. President, may I ask privilege to the floor?
You may.
I am advised that the government class from Encampment, Wyoming, is in the gallery. I'd like for them to stand, and we can recognize their interest in how our state government runs.
Hey, hey.
Welcome. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you for attending. We hope you learn a lot today. Senator Hastert.
Thank you, Mr. President. May I have privilege of the floor?
You may.
Thank you. Members of the body, I'd like to introduce to you a couple of guests that have joined me over here. We have the, which will be the new resident manager soon of FMC Corporation in Green River, Wyoming, Fred Von Ayers, and then also Terry Harding, who is one of our controller for FMC Corporation. I could welcome him to the Senate.
Welcome to the Senate, gentlemen. Senate File 10, second reading of the Senate File.
Senate File 10, sponsored by the Travel Committee, State Parks, Bear River State Park.
Senator Jennings.
Mr. President, may I have the privilege of the floor?
You may.
This is about the bill. This is a map that's on your desk. It shows, it answers the question from yesterday. Here's the original land grant right here, and here's the piece of property that we're talking about right here. So the piece of property we're talking about on the state park is not part of the land grant. Here's the original deed on it. I'll leave it right up here by my buffalo, and you're more than welcome to come look at it. Just make sure if you've handled wolves, you don't touch my buffalo and get brucellosis. Thank you.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, just a further question on this. I think the original land grant was some 30,000 acres, so it's more than just what's shown here as the property. Do you know how we actually acquired this other land?
Anyone else wish to speak before Senator Jennings have his second time? Senator Jennings.
Thank you, Mr. President. It was acquired from Charles and Laura Faulkner, and it's all right here in this description.
Senate File 10, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, it is so ordered. Senate File 11, second reading of the Senate File.
Senate File 11, sponsored by the Travel Committee, State Parks, Acquisitions, and Dispositions of Land.
Senate File 11, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Senate File 12, second reading of the Senate File.
Senate File 12, sponsored by the Travel Committee, State Parks and Historic Sites, Boundaries and Designations.
Senate File 12, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time, hearing no objection? It is so ordered. Senate File 14, second reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 14, sponsored by the Judiciary Committee, Circuit Court Hearings of Municipal Violations by Juveniles.
Senate File 14, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time, hearing no objections? It is so ordered. Senate File 16, second reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 16, sponsored by the Revenue Committee, Property Tax Review of Assessment.
There is an amendment. Will the reading clerk read in the amendment?
Senate File 16, second reading amendment number 1, page 1, line 3.
Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move first reading amendment to Senate File 16, or second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 16, and ask for your favorable consideration. Mr. President, the good senator from Johnson County did pass out I think some very valuable information to the body, and that's a statement of consideration, a blank one here. And after looking at the statement of consideration and the information that's on that, if this amendment passes, I think I'll have to come back in on third and make some changes, because this amendment, Mr. President, just basically says at the end of it that a statement of consideration disclosed under this section shall be redacted to remove the names of the sellers and the purchasers of the property. However, after looking at what's on the statement of consideration, you also have the other personally identifying information such as phone numbers. And so I think I probably would have to do some wordsmithing on that. But I would like a vote before I proceed with that endeavor as to whether or not we want to try to protect the confidentiality of the sellers and the purchasers of the property. Granted, Mr. President, that with a little bit of information and some sleuthing, I think you could probably get this, but at least on the face of these documents, you would not have that information that heretofore has been completely confidential. And so with that, Mr. President, I would ask for your favorable consideration, your favorable vote.
Senator Schiffer.
Mr. President, I'd like to ask that this amendment be divided. And the division would come, lines 1 through 25 would be division 1, and lines 26 through 30 would be division 2.
Very well. Which division do you wish to speak to first?
Mr. President, could we start with Division 1?
Division 1. Senator Schiffer.
Mr. Chairman, I'm going to ask the Senate to decline this amendment. Here's the way these deals actually work. When you go in for a hearing, if you appeal your property tax. When you go in for a hearing and they start talking about statements of consideration, they close the hearing. The only people there are the Board of Equalization, which is your county commissioners, the assessor, the person that decides they want to appeal their property tax, and that's it. It's a closed hearing. It's protected. This amendment, what it does, it makes it more difficult. And understand the process to appeal your property taxes is an uphill struggle. The inclination of all 23 county commissions is go with the assessor, and perhaps rightly so. But when you get ready to appeal, you're going to devote a lot of time. You're going to have to go look and see and wade through this stuff and try and figure out how in the world your property taxes went up 30, 40, 50%. You're going to have to go try and figure out what is it that drove this, what are these comparables, things like that. It is an arduous process, and it's somewhat slanted against you as the appellant to start with. The first part of this is just making it more difficult, quite frankly. And I assure you, it's a lot of fun, but it's arduous. So I ask you to vote no on this. It doesn't do what it's intended to do, because the way the process works right now, that's a closed hearing. It's not public. Statements of consideration don't go out to the public right now. The public is not allowed in that hearing room. That's already been taken care of with the process that we have in place right now. I ask you to vote no.
Senator Nicholas.
And I'd also concur and ask you to vote no. Folks, what's happening on this information that's out there, you have two concepts. One concept is the notion of confidentiality, and one is the notion of privileged. Your medical records, things like that, have the level of privilege. And you have a privilege in making sure that information gets out. And when it gets distributed, it only goes to medical providers that you give a request for. And it's privileged all the way down the line. Confidentiality is a concept where you keep your information confidential. But when you lose the confidentiality of the information, when it gets distributed, it's no longer confidential. So, for example, if you buy a house and you take your sales contract down and you put it in, leave it on the counter at a restaurant, it's available to everybody that gets it and looks at it. So who's getting all this information? Appraisers? Anybody that buys a house that has an appraisal, because when you get your appraisal, it's got everybody's, the houses that they looked at. All the neighbors know what they paid for, and anybody that's doing coffee or having coffee with the neighbors. And now when you're sitting in the, if you protest, then all the folks in neighborhood A get information to your sales price, and then they disclose it at coffee. And everybody over on that's in coffee up in the next community gets their other neighbors. And pretty soon they're all talking and everybody knows it. You know, there comes a time, folks, when you just realize this stuff just isn't confidential. It's not. And if you think in terms of where we ought to be going towards the future, for most people, young people, buying a house is the hardest thing they'll ever do in their life. It's the most expensive thing they'll do. And if they make bad decisions, it can actually ruin their families. And this notion that only appraisers or the real estate brokers or a small portion of people ought to have this information, which is no longer confidential because it's shared by everybody that's in the business. They're just trying to keep it from you and me and from young home buyers. Enough with that. The people that ought to get it are the ones that are really putting their lives out to go out and make these purchases. They ought to know what houses are selling for and know where they're making a good deal. Now, that's a little bit off track to what we're dealing with here, but pretty soon we ought to just recognize that this is information that consumers ought to have. Now, with respect to those people that get the information, what this does is say we're going to expand the group of people that get it, and now they're all confidential. So now it's confidential with you and about 1,000 other people. Makes no sense.
Further discussion on Division 1? Senator Meyer.
I'm going to take a little closer look at this and find out just whether or not, for sure, Mr. President, this particular one does what the good senator from Laramie says. I think we did get a little bit off track, because I do agree that people should know whether they're getting a good deal or not, but and there is a little bit of coffee shop talk, but I think that's a little bit off the subject of the bill. But there are some in this division. There are some deficiencies that LSO and I should have taken into account, especially lines 1 through 3, where we don't have some language in there that part was specified in. So that from that point, Mr. President, I guess you could consider this a cleanup amendment. You could vote no. Question.
Further discussion on Division 1. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, no.
No.
Division 1 have failed. We are now on Division 2. Senator Schiffer.
Mr. President, a couple things, and I'll get to the second division, which is lines 26 through 30. Mr. President, by the way, I was asked how long assessors keep the statement of consideration. They're on a three-year cycle. They keep them 3 years and then roll them out, and there's a new set coming in. That was a question that was asked yesterday. Mr. President, dealing with the amendment, a statement of consideration, you're going to redact the names. And here again, when you go to appeal, you do your own legwork. You go look at, say, for example, they give you four comparables. You got to go look at those comparables because you're looking at value and condition. If you live in a double wide, and you drive up to one of the, and you got to go find the comparable, and then you go look, and if it's a three room castle, and you say, ooh, wait a minute here, we may have some grounds. If your double wide still has the wheels under it, and the other double wide is on a foundation, there again, that's a little different deal. The really great one is if you drive up and the roof is missing. Then you say, well, I still got a roof on mine. But it's that kind of legwork you got to go do. And nobody does it for you. And what this does, and you can find out the information. If I had to do this, I'd get a hold of my technical consultant, and she would get on the computer, and she would find out what the address was, and I'd say, well, I know that person. I got to go look at their house. And she would tell me, John, get off the sofa and go do that. Get busy. But what you're doing is making it tougher. If you want to go appeal your taxes, the deck is stacked against you, I assure you. The words fairness and comfort, when you walk out of one of those hearings, those are not the words that come to mind. And what this does is make it harder on the person who wants to appeal his taxes. It just means he has to go jump one more hurdle in order to make appeal if you really want to go do it right and have a chance of success. One more stumbling block. When you step into that process, you'll find there's a number of them already. This just adds one more. You have to go find out who lives there. The polite thing to do is to call them up. And you explain to them what you're doing, or you just go over and visit. But, this just makes it tougher. That's all. I ask for them what it is, because it's tough enough.
Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. President. On and against the amendment for a little bit different reason. Folks, you've got to remember what's happening here. When you fill out your statement of considerations, it goes to the county clerk. They provide it to the assessor. The assessor then takes the data, introduces the information from the data into the CAMA system, which is simply a program that monitors various parts of the transaction, evaluates it. Now, when the assessor receives the sale document, the assessor first has to make a determination of whether or not it's a valid sale. And if it's not a valid sale, then they describe it as an outlier. You may cast it out and saying this just isn't a valid sale. How does the assessor determine whether it's an outlier or an invalid sale? Well, one of the first things they look to see is if the sale is between me and my child, and I sold a $200,000 piece of property for $25,000, as soon as you see that it's a father-son sale, you say, well, wait a minute, there's an issue there. Or suppose I sell it from, I want to transfer it from my corporation to myself, and I want to transfer it for the basis that I had, and my basis was only $50,000 on a $200,000 property. So when you're going to challenge your tax, you need what the assessor has done is the assessor has said, well, I'm going to evaluate who was the buyer, who was the seller, and understand whether or not it really represents a valid sale, because if it is, then I'm going to cast it out. So then you walk in and you say, well, wait a minute, here's a sale for property at 300 North 3rd. And it shows it was a sale value of $30,000, and I'm being assessed at $200,000. By gosh, I should get a $30,000. And if that's all the information you have, when you go to the commissioner, you say, hey, look, here's a $30,000 sale. And the assessor says, well, that was a sale between a father and a son, or a corporation and entity. He says, well, I don't know that. Once again, if you're going to have what's happening, folks, you've got to remember, is we are engaging in a statistical analysis of your property value. We're not doing appraisals where we're comparing house to house. And these things go into a statistical analysis, and you need to know who the outliers are and whether the value was in or out. As a practical matter, folks, you're going to know who the buyer and the seller is anyway, because if you know it's 300 North 3rd and you know that it was owned by dad and now son's in it, you're going to know who the buyer and the seller are anyway. But you're protecting nothing. You're just making it more complicated so you cannot assess whether or not it's an arm's length sale. You need to know who the buyer and seller is.
Senator Jennings.
Thank you, Mr. President. That's all real good stuff to know. What I see with this portion of the amendment is it's kind of an antisocial thing, because it says you don't want anybody to know who you are, and you don't want to have somebody who wants to object to their taxes calling you and saying, you know, the assessor picked up the building permit for this house and when it was first built, so he knows there's three or four bedrooms and there's a couple bathrooms, but the assessor never really, or at least my house, hasn't walked through it to determine whether I have golden or brass or silver fixtures in my bathroom and towel racks and stuff like that. It's part of the software. So I think that this, by leaving the names in there, is really a good thing, because it forces you to call your neighbors and ask them, what kind of bathroom do you have, and did you put gold in there, and did the assessor really come through and walk through it and determine that you've got all the stuff he thinks you have in there? So not only is it good for you to learn who your neighbor was, who probably paid way too much money for his house because it came from California or Texas where he made a whole bunch of money on the last sale and raised the price of your taxes. I mean, there's a good way to get to know your new neighbors and everything. So I think that when you leave the names and the numbers in here, it's a good way to get to know your neighbors, good way for them to contact you and find out, well, how fancy a house do you have compared to mine? So, yeah, let's vote no on this and be friendly with our neighbors.
Senator Meyer.
Mr. President,
Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, the good senator from Laramie makes an excellent, excellent argument for the next amendment. But we can't talk about the next amendment at this point in time. But he makes an excellent argument about knowing why and the outliers. I agree with him 100%. Mr. President, basically, we all have a right to privacy. And it just depends when government says to the individual citizen, when do you no longer have a right to privacy? Now, for years, we have had total confidentiality in this area. And we're saying we're going to make a value judgment, that we want to make sure that the taxpayer has the ability in an appeal process to be on level playing ground. Well, let's define what that level playing ground is. They have to define and they have to know a few things about the property, where it's at and how much it costs. If you know where it's at and how much it costs in relationship to the information that I hope we can get on the next amendment, then you'll be on a level playing field. You'll put the playing field back in that area where it isn't that difficult to make a valid argument to be able to go in front of the board, develop the record, make sure that everything that you need for the next appeal process is in that record, in that process. But now where do we draw the line? We drew the line in confidentiality that you couldn't get any of this information. This is a fair compromise. It says that basically your names are redacted. This passes. I'll probably come back in on third reading and say personally identifying information. If you need more information about that house, that's more specific about how the assessor used the information that they gathered from that house, then sure, you can knock on that person's door just like we go out and campaign and say, I want your vote. They can go out and knock on that door and say, my taxes went up 300%. They used your property. Would you please help me out? Now, if your neighbor is a good neighbor, he'll smile and say, you know, my taxes went up too. Let's all get together. We'll have a community meeting and we can share this information. They could do it themselves if they want to. And they could be good neighbors. So we're not saying we're not going to be neighborly. We're not saying that we're going to put a monkey wrench into the situation. We're saying with this is that we're going to have confidentiality at least on the face of it. It has to at least be on the face of it, folks, because if you don't, then, you know, we're not doing anything to protect confidentiality. This is a slim protection at best because everybody in a small town knows where everybody else lives. You get in Cheyenne and Casper, then you have some protection of confidentiality. But really, you know, it's we're making a big leap here now. We're throwing all this stuff out in the open public forum. So this is just one way to say, yeah, let's have a level playing field, but let's have some reasonableness with it. I hope for your favorable consideration.
Further discussion? The question is, shall Division 2 of Amendment, Second Reading Amendment Number 1 to Senate File 16 pass? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
That division have failed. We have a second amendment. Reading Court, please read in Amendment Number 2.
Senate File 16, Second Reading Amendment Number 2, page 2, line 13.
Senator Meyer.
Mr. President, I move to
Senate File 16 and ask for your favorable consideration. And, Mr. President, everything the good senator from Laramie said about knowing why the outliers were not used is basically handled by this amendment. It says that the county assessor shall, upon request, so they're not doing it on everyone, but upon request, provide the person or his agent a statement indicating why the certain property was not used in determining the value of the property at issue. And we can go into those things that were cited by the good senator from Laramie, where you have close transaction sales between business partners or business entities or fathers or sons or relatives and those things and why they weren't used. And so they can indicate that, and then you can move forward with your appeal. So I ask for your favorable consideration.
Now, where are you against that?
Senator Schiffer.
Mr. President, reluctantly, I would ask the Senate to vote no on this amendment. If you read Senate File 16 very closely, what it asks for, it deals with the timeliness, those dates that were changed, and it says that the county assessor will release those statements of consideration that the assessor used when they made your property assessment. That's all Senate File 16 asks to do. An ensuing bill asks for some other things. It opens things up. But that's not what this bill does. As I read the amendment, you're asking the county assessor to explain why they did not use a statement of consideration which they're not going to release to you anyway. I may change my mind on this. Maybe we should pass this because we've got 23 county assessors and they're really good. And just how they're going to cope with this, I don't know, but it'll be entertaining to hear. Because you're asking them to explain why they're not using something that you don't know about as the appellant anyway. It will lead to some great visits in your courthouse. It truly will. But it doesn't track with what's actually happening. Let's face it. It won't do, I believe, what it's intended to do, because that's not what's done in Senate File 16. I think it will muddy the water. You're asking them to release something they're not going to. I don't know how you'd comply with this, it doesn't fit into the process.
Senator Bebout.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. President. I appreciate my comments from my colleague from up in Johnson County, but I think it would apply just listening to it and reading it, because I have been through this and have had properties presented to me, and then I know about so-and-so's property over there, and I say, well, why isn't that included in these kind of situations where you're appealing it? And they said, oh, well, yeah, you're right. Maybe we should talk about that. And, of course, I was able to do that, but would the normal person be able to do that? Possibly. And if this language is out of context relative to the bill, then maybe it shouldn't be in this bill. And I wouldn't argue that point, but I think there's nothing wrong with if you go in and look at this information and you know the properties, we all do, this is Wyoming, and you say, okay, this place is in, this place is in, this place is in, but why not this one? Because you happen to know, because at the you went to the coffee shop that morning and there was a piece of paper there that said what that was worth. You say, well, why wasn't that listed? This would say that, okay, I have to tell you why that wasn't. And maybe I'm missing something, but I really think that would be something you would want to know, be able to have, and be able to help you in your position to try to understand why your property taxes went up.
Senator Case.
Mr. President, thank you very much. And, Mr. President, I think this all gets to a point I think that you were trying to raise yesterday as well. And you remember the confusion that I had yesterday about the language in Senate File 16, and granted I was out of line talking about Senate File 17 at the time, but they are linked, because 17 is about making everything public, 16 is about taxpayer rights in an appeal. And that's what it is. It's an act relating taxation and revenue, providing procedures for review of property tax assessment as specified. The language that I talked about yesterday, which is the sentence right where this amendment goes at the end of, says, and including the statements of consideration for properties of like use and geographic area which were available. It doesn't say used. It says which were available to the assessor and requested by the person or their agent. It doesn't say used. It says available. Where did that language come from? It was added last year in a bill. That's why when I looked at the folio titles, which mine hadn't been updated, that language wasn't there, but it's in your green books. That was added last year. And it was House Bill, original House Bill 279. We added that specific language exactly to do this. Apparently there's disagreement about why that happens or whether that does happen, but the amendment makes that clear in my mind. This is how we get at making sure the taxpayer has all the information available to defend their tax appeal. And we all agree on that. That's what we want to do. Our disagreement actually comes about as to whether every information everywhere should be a public record. That's the next bill. If you think the taxpayer ought to have all the information, I think you ought to support this amendment. And it complements the language we added last year, which was the subject of confusion yesterday, to also do the exact same thing.
Senator Perkins.
Thank you. Mr. President, I'm going to go through the process.
officers answerable to the public. And the reason I'm against this amendment is this would be akin to telling or passing a law that would say that that upon request, a legislator would have to provide an indication why he voted for or against a bill. I can't imagine a voter coming to you and asking you why you voted for or against a bill that you would not answer that question. My experience as a county commissioner in doing some of these, in doing a number of these tax sales, and at least with the assessor in our county, is that they welcome an opportunity to come in and visit about these things. And in fact, any time that a person comes in, they're more than willing to sit down. And in fact, a significant number of the tax protests are settled simply by a conversation between the taxpayer and the assessor as they go over this information. So when I look at this, I think, you know, the reason I would vote no on this amendment, I'm going to encourage you to do the same, because I don't think it's appropriate that we would micromanage other officials to do what I would hope would be a common sense requirement. And certainly if the voters are upset and don't receive the response that they would desire from their, the kind of response they would desire from their assessor, they're free to vote them out, just like they would be free to vote us out as well.
Senator Nicholas.
On and against the amendment, folks, you got to remember what's happening here, how the information is being utilized, and I think if you do, you'll realize that this is just a burdensome requirement that really can't be satisfied unless all your assessors were doing was responding to information every day. You receive your statement of consideration gets filed. It gets transmitted to the assessor. The assessor then takes the data, has to decide whether it's an outlier or not, then puts the data into the computer-assisted mass appraisal system, the CAMA system. Now, the CAMA system uses the data, and from that data, they have to decide whether they're going to adjust the replacement cost new value that's generated in the CAMA system for improvements. Now, it treats real estate as different. Real estate, the underlying real estate, you're trying to assess real estate. You might be comparing real estate sales all along a river, all viewing the Tetons alike. But now you got improvements on it. Now the improvements, you might have a brand new home, and you might have a cabin. Well, maybe that the cabin, the brand new home, should be compared to other brand new homes in the community. You might be looking at lots of sales. Now let's take so a lot more information goes into it, and it's a lot more complicated with respect to what comparable sales. This is not an appraisal system where they go out and they pick a house and compare it to three other sales and walk in and make sure that they're comparable sales and make adjustments. Let's take Laramie County. It may be that in Laramie County, you might have four or five neighborhoods that are all together that have homogeneous improvements, houses all built in the 1980s, and there might be 300 sales. All 300 sales go into the CAMA system, and they make adjustments, and then the computer uses that statistical data to come up with what they the computer thinks is an appropriate adjustment to what the CAMA system derives as a replacement cost new that's gotten from what's called Marshall and Swift data that comes into it. So the computer takes all the Marshall and Swift data, creates a replacement cost new value. And then the balance of what happens is a statistical analysis of whether or not that replacement cost new ought to be adjusted, because all of the houses in that neighbor are selling for twice as much as the replacement cost new. Or in another neighborhood, they're selling for half as much. So they get reduced half. This one gets doubled in value. Now, the assessor may not in that sense know which, she may know which, he or she might know which sales got rejected, or which ones were outliers and taken out, but your property got statistically adjusted by 300 sales. So if you're going to go in and say, look, I want to know which one of these sales got thrown out, fair enough. If you want to say, I want to know which ones affected my property, the assessor is not even going to be able to tell you. There were 300 sales that got logged into that, and you happen to be in with 300 homogeneous homes, and I can give you the computer data. Now, it is different when you're sitting in Hudson, Wyoming, and you know when you're trying to get values and there's only one sale. I'll give you that. But then you just walk into the assessor and said, hey, what did you use? And you figure these things out.
Uh, Then you'll be back for your second time.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. President, for my second time. Just a couple of things. I don't think this is similar to someone coming up and questioning how we vote. I mean, if you look at the law, it says taxpayer remedies. And having been involved in this appeal process, obviously, if you go to your county commissioner, if they make a recommendation, you can appeal to the state board. Maybe you're helping the taxpayer by when they go to the state board, if that's where they go, after the county commissioner has ruled, that you have some more information available. I just don't see why you can't ask your county assessor this information. I don't think it reflects on her ability or her inability or him to do their job. You just want to know some information. I think it's a decent amendment. I would ask you to support it.
Further discussion before Senator Myers takes a second time. Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, we are just trying to level the playing field. We are trying to say that if the person comes in and asks why some houses weren't part of the 300 houses that were put into the computer programming system, that nobody understands why those were the outliers. And it can be just as simple as the good senator from Laramie said about his other questions about outliers, why they were important, is that they were outliers because of certain circumstances that caused them to be so. And it could be just as simple as that your house was built in 1970 and all the other three houses were built in 1980. And so we're just putting houses in 1970 that were built in 70, and that's when your house was built. There could be a reason for any of those. I think there's a difference of opinion. I believe in the good senators that are on the Revenue Committee. About one senator, I believe, thinks that the assessors will not grab you by the hand and walk you through this. And another committee member says, well, they have that duty and they're going to do it just as we would explain any other bill or vote that we would have. So I think there is a difference of opinion about how helpful county assessors are. This amendment basically says you are going to be helpful. You are going to indicate why a certain property was not used in determining the value of the property at issue. And that's all it says. I think it's in the right place. I think the good senator from Fremont County, actually both good senators from Fremont County, made that argument quite well. And so I would ask for your favorable consideration.
Question is, second reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 16 pass. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
The amendment has passed. Senate File 16 haven't been read two separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, it is so ordered. Senator Townsend.
Thank you. I would ask for the privilege of the floor, please.
You may.
Okay. The Senate, I want you to meet my son and his wife. First time they've been here since I've been here. And I'd have you welcome Colin and Susan. Senator.
Welcome to the Senate. It's time you come and check up on that senator. Senate File 17, second reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 17, sponsored by the Revenue Committee, Statement of Consideration.
There is an amendment. Clerk, please read in the amendment.
Senate File 17, second reading amendment number 1, page 1, line 2.
Okay, Senator Meyer.
At this point in time, Mr. President, I'll withdraw this amendment.
Without objection, the amendment has been withdrawn. Senate File 17 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, it is so ordered. Senate File 20, second reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 20, sponsored by Senator Escobel, text-based communications prohibited while driving.
There is amendment. Will the reading clerk please read in the amendment?
Senate File 20, second reading amendment number 1, page 3 after line 18.
Senator Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, this time I'd move amendment, second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File number 20. Mr. President, what I've done here with this is I've gone in, and this is the text-based communications prohibited while driving. So this, as we heard yesterday, this amendment is going to be very, very tough to enforce for all practical purposes. And I was inspired very much by the good senator's comments from the northwest corner of the state, that it was with respect to and his analogies to the seatbelt law. And with that inspiration, I decided that maybe the appropriate place for this type of offense is that it would be a secondary offense, just like seatbelts. So the purpose of this amendment is it would take and make this a secondary offense. Texting while driving would be a secondary offense, just like we would have with seatbelts, so that you have to be stopped for some other offense before you can be cited or charged with texting while driving. And with consideration.
Senator Jennings.
Thank you, Mr. President. My colleague from Natrona County probably is right, but I ask you to vote no on this because the difference between the comparison in seatbelt seatbelts and text messaging is if you don't have your seatbelt on and you crash, it's you. You're driving down the road looking at your cell phone and you're texting and you're looking out the window and you're texting. It's not only you, unless you're on an abandoned road someplace and you're the only one out there. It's the other guy that when you swerve, I believe somebody described it over here as he appeared to be drunk as he was driving because he was swerving back and forth. So if you take this from a primary to a secondary offense, you have to take into consideration that you have a lot more people involved in it, in the accident that may be caused by texting, and you need to stop that. And you can't stop it after the fact. You need to stop it before the fact. So I would hope that you would defeat this amendment.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, I've got a question for when the proponent takes his second time. Mr. President, this is different from the seatbelt circumstance. Seatbelts, wearing them or not, don't cause other behavior, but this one does. And what I'm unclear here is suppose the patrolman stops a car because it is weaving down the road. And he thinks maybe the driver was drunk and needs to have a breathalyzer test. Finds out, no, that he was texting. Okay, he didn't stop them solely because he was texting. He stopped them because the car was weaving down the road, but the only offense involved is violation of the texting. And my question is, with this language, are you still subject to being cited for driving while texting, or because no other offense was charged, are you not subject to being cited for that? And it's unclear to me which of those cases prevails if we have this language.
Senator Meyer.
President. Mr. President, I would, to answer the good senator from Natrona County, that if there was probable cause to pull someone over for another offense, which basically was reckless or careless driving, is probably why they were pulling them over, then they could be cited for both reckless, careless driving, one or the other, and the seatbelt, the texting offense. But I think we need to put this in context about whether this bill is enforceable or not. And frankly, I don't believe this bill is enforceable. I think we came to the conclusion yesterday that this bill is a billboard bill. It is a bill to allow the state of Wyoming to use their advertising dollars to put billboards up across the state saying that texting is illegal and better not text. And so parents can tell their sons and daughters, don't text because it's illegal, because it's frankly unenforceable. And so if it's frankly unenforceable, there's really not a good, solid reason to have it as a first offense.
Senator Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. President. You know, this bill may very well be unenforceable, but I think that in those terms it even becomes more difficult to enforce under the condition that this amendment would pose. And I'll have to simply say that, you know, we all have these narrow escapes and whatnot and close calls, and of all the list of close calls and narrow escapes I've had, it's been with one of these texters. And it seems that whenever Wyoming approaches any of these things in terms of speed limits or seat belts or texting, we always declare this condition of cultural difference, that we don't do it that way. Well, it's kind of like a frog in the boiling water. I guess we have to, you know, go secondary and then primary, and we have to go through all these steps. I would just simply say, in regard to the amendment, in regard to the bill, let's step up to it. This is an issue of safety. Our young people are doing it. It's going to take a cultural change to bring about this difference. This is one way to impose some cultural change. Let's step up. Let's deny this amendment and pass the bill. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator Burns.
Mr. President, on and in favor of the amendment, one of the concerns I have, and I don't know that this question was ever answered, but under the current bill, without this amendment, the majority floor leader calls me while I'm driving down the highway towards Cheyenne over some important business, because he wouldn't call me over anything that wasn't. Is that a probable cause to pull me over? Looking to see or looking to click? Under the current bill, without this amendment, the police officer, even in all good faith, doesn't know if I'm now texting or if I'm just answering the phone, conducting a perfectly legal operation or an illegal operation by texting. I think under this bill, if you saw me do that, or just saw me do this, because it's a short period of time, I think that gives probable cause for a policeman to pull me over, even though everything I'm doing is perfectly legal. I think that this amendment would avoid that.
Senator Yvonne Platerman.
Thank you, Mr. President. Speaking against this, on and against this amendment, seatbelts are a preventive issue. Texting causes wrecks. So they're not related. You should not put those two in there. As far as an officer having that 1 second to see you look at the phone and decide whether it's a phone call or text, what are the chances? If a piece of paper blew by your car as you were driving, is he going to go assume that you were littering? If he is, then he's got to prove his case, and you've got to prove your case. So should we get rid of our littering laws? Because there's a chance that a piece of paper might blow by your car as you're driving, and he assumes it came from your car. Remember, this is to prevent accidents. Making it a secondary offense is after the fact. We're trying to stop the accident ahead of time. I'd ask for your no vote on this amendment.
Senator Larson.
Thank you, Mr. President. I, too, would ask you to vote no on the amendment. Folks, this is going to save lives. Let's be realistic. Statistics nationally have showed that. They've showed it all the time. Referring to the example with the good senator from Sheridan County, so you are pulled over by a highway patrolman. So that happens, and he makes a mistake. He comes to the car, you explain to him what was happening, and you're going to go on your way. It's not a big deal to be pulled over. The patrolman may be wrong in some cases, But once you explain that you were not texting, that you're not doing it, you're going on your way. And so if we put this in and make it so, I admit it's hard to enforce. But by doing this, rejecting this amendment and passing this bill, we're going to save lives. Every statistic from nationally and everywhere down is going to tell you that. And so they make a mistake and pull you over once. I've never known a highway patrolman that would go overboard, whether it's primary, secondary, or whatever it is, and do anything but maybe delay you for a couple of minutes, which I think is a small price to pay for enacting something that unquestionably could save a lot of lives. So I ask you to defeat the amendment. Let's get on with the bill and pass it. Think of all the people you're going to be saving.
Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. President. On and for the amendment for these reasons. Folks, part of the problem here is that we are saying that you can use your handheld device for some purposes but not others. In other words, when somebody looks at you and they see that you've got a handheld device, they don't know whether you're texting, whether you're on the phone. They simply don't know. And if the notion is that you're going to stop there, and that's part of the problem with this. I mean, we've been dealing with this problem for years. I know people that read the newspaper on the highway. They have no business doing that. This is not a new issue. What is new issue is the fascination, and you see young people just using it all the time, but it's not any worse just being on the phone. But we're not distinguishing between what now you have illegal behavior and legal behavior that looks exactly alike. So then the question is when do you stop somebody? And the answer is you stop it when you see careless driving. And when the officer sees careless driving, you miss a stop sign, you weave, you're doing something that's when the officer makes the stop. And then I guess you have an ensuing argument about whether you're texting or on the phone. I don't know. And that's the problem with this. But eventually you just got to broaden careless driving, saying if you're texting, you're using the form in a careless way, it's careless driving. But the primary offense here, folks, is careless driving. And that's the only way I know for a police officer to distinguish between illegal behavior and legal behavior. And the notion that you say it's legal to be on the phone and you can be stopped and just so the police officer can stop or the highway patrolman say, I'd like to know, were you texting or on the phone? Makes no sense. I mean, that's the difficulty with this bill. But at least with careless driving, you know you're going to get stopped if you're careless driving, and it's an appropriate question. What were you doing? And I suppose they could ask for your phone logs and find out whether you were texting or driving. I mean, there's a way for them to determine whether it was just on the phone or texting. But here again, I don't know how you say some behavior is legal, some is illegal, and they look just alike. But at least this way, you got to be driving carelessly before the stop's made.
Senator Cole. This is it. Okay.
I rise in support of the amendment. The effectiveness of the seatbelt legislation as a secondary offense speaks for itself. Like I said yesterday, every time you drive out of a town, you'll see a sign that says, buckle up, it's the law. Now maybe you'll see a sign that says, no texting, it's the law. The seatbelt legislation we passed a number of years ago works. This sends a message by saying it is illegal to text, period. We don't need to get pulled over for this stuff and try to interpret what you're doing at the time. So I'd urge that you support the amendment.
Senator Scott, for your second time.
Mr. President, yeas and nays, please.
Senator Von Platerin, for your second time.
Thank you, Mr. President. Speaking once again against this amendment, there is a great difference and a great deal of difference, easy identifiable, for me to sit here and have this on my ear versus me doing this. The biggest the amount of motor skill required to form letters, words in your mind, a message in your mind, and then transfer them down here, even if you're good enough to do this, which most kids are. I don't do that. You wouldn't understand what I just sent you. But that motor skills that it takes and the concentration it takes off the road are so much different than this looking straight ahead. And so I cannot understand why it's not identifiable. I think it is. Why it is much worse than talking on the phone is all the motor skills, all the concentration you put into it, the text and email. So this is a very easily proven date, time, stamp on the message you just sent. So it's provable. It causes accidents. Seatbelts are there to prevent damage. They're not particularly there to stop an accident. But this is going to, by banning this and making it a primary law, is going to prevent accidents.
Senator Escobel.
Mr. President, thank you. Appreciate the dialogue.
I appreciate the dialogue, Mr. President, and good senator from Sheridan County has provided some good questions for a law school exam on probable cause. But in regard to seat belts versus cell phones, texting, whether or not you have a seat belt on will not affect how you drive. Texting does have an effect on how you drive. As mentioned yesterday, there are three main types of distractions: visual, manual, and cognitive. Texting uses all three. In addition, I think what makes this bill, the passage of this bill, important is that while it's true that we see a lot of distractions in our everyday life, somebody reading a newspaper, somebody having a dog on their lap, et cetera, is that those, not that many people are doing all these different types of things, but there's a significant number of drivers that today are texting. And because of the numbers and the type of drivers that are using these type of devices, I think it's important that that this be taken in consideration. Thank you, Mr. President. I urge you to resist the amendment.
Senator Burns, for your second time.
Mr. President, for my second time, those who oppose the amendment, in my mind, seem like they're combining the bill. And I'm for the bill. And everything that's been said about texting while driving is absolutely true, the danger of it. I agree with all of that. The problem I have is the idea, and the good senator from Laramie was absolutely right. You're using the same device, and the police officer only many times can only see you for just a second what you're doing. And the good senator from Teton County, he said they pull you over, you tell them you were on the phone, and they let you go. Well, okay, fine. Everybody's going to tell them that they were on the cell phone because it is the same device. So that raises the question, how does the police officer then determine whether they were texting or whether they were actually answering a cell phone or making a cell phone call? Because quite often, these things have speakers. Cell phones have speakers. People talk like this on the cell phone. They use it like a walkie-talkie. Am I texting or am I on the cell phone? So are the police officers going to now have to become competent at every different form of cell phone to be able to take this person's cell phone and go back and determine if it was a text or if it was a call? Now, there are experts who are able to do that, but I don't know that every police officer in the state has that capability. I can tell you right now, I sure can't. I keep the simplest cell phone I can.
Question been called for, and the A's and O's have been requested on second reading, amendment number 1 to Senate File 20. Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson?
No.
Beepout?
Aye.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
Aye.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
No.
Dockstader?
No.
Elliott?
No.
Esquibel?
No.
Geis?
No.
Hastert?
No.
Honeycutt? Jennings?
No.
Johnson?
Aye.
Landon?
No.
Larson?
No.
Martin?
No.
Massey?
No.
Meyer.
Aye.
Meyer-S.
No.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Perkins.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Ross.
No.
Schiffer.
No.
Scott.
No.
Sessions.
No.
Townsend.
Aye.
Bonflatern.
No.
President Hines.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing vote closed. 12 ayes, 18 noes.
Second reading amendment number 1 have failed. Second reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 20. Reading clerk, please read the amendment.
Senate File 20, second reading amendment number 2, page 1, line 15.
Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move second reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 20 and ask for the body's favorable consideration. Mr. President, did go into some other statutes to see how some of them were written. Looking at the seatbelt law, on the first part of this amendment, we say that this law is only effective on public streets or highways. That's exactly where the seatbelt law is used. The other part of this amendment, that's section 1 through 5. The next section of this amendment is 6 through 14, I believe. And that has to do with the section where it says read. We take out the culpability of this on reading a text. And that came from, I think, some information we had on Committee of the Whole where someone may open up their electronic device and hit the button and the message is right there. And so they've accessed it. It's hit their cellular phone. And it's really no different than reading the numbers, the call letters on your radio or looking at, or more dangerous than trying to input the numbers on making a phone call. And that goes, I think, directly to the problem where we have, where a lot of the problem would be where you're using the same electronic device in a completely legal manner in one area, in another manner would be illegal. And so we say that you can't continue the prohibition against sending or creating a text, but if a text communication comes into you, can it could be read. The other part of it goes into the violations, Mr. President, and the current penalties in this law can get as bad as 6 months in jail and a $500 fine for the third offense. The first one, I believe, is up to 20 days for texting. And frankly, Mr. President, I think that's it just isn't right to say you're going to throw anybody in jail for 20 days for this particular offense. And so we put the same penalties that have been effective on our seatbelts into this amendment. And at this point in time, it's a $25 fine. And if you do happen to get pulled over for reckless driving and you're not using your texting, it's the same $10 off your ticket as what you would normally have, the same as the seatbelts. So I think I've explained all parts of the amendment, Mr. President. I do believe they are divisible. But we basically have three areas, the public streets and highways, the deletion of read, and the deletion of the very punitive penalties, and I think the insertion of some more modest and more appropriate penalties. So I'd ask for your favorable consideration on all three parts of the amendment. Thank you.
Senator Massey.
Thank you, Mr. President. Quickly, we've just rejected the notion of tying this bill to a seatbelt law. Second, the provisions in subsection C indicates that for every moving violation, the officer will have to note whether the person was texting or not, which is quite onerous and,
and I'm not really quite sure how that'll be done. Third, testimony to the Appropriations Committee with regard to the present practice of deducting $10 for safety for wearing a seatbelt indicates that it really is not an incentive any longer, but it's costing the state of Wyoming $800,000 a year. This will certainly double that amount. And finally, if a person is wearing a seatbelt, since we still have that provision in practice, then in reality, the most that you can ever get charged for a fine for the violation of this bill would be $15 maximum against the amendment.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, further against the amendment, this amendment speaks drivers and passengers complied with this section. Nothing in the bill as I read it where the passengers can't text. That doesn't affect anything. So this amendment, it just doesn't work.
Senator Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to divide the amendment. First division is the first division is lines 1 through 4. The second division is lines 5 through 15. Third division is lines 17 through 24, up to the word offense, the period. So it would be, and division 4 would be the last sentence of the be the last sentence of which would be 4, 25, and 26.
State your second division again, please, and third.
Yes, sir, Mr. President. The second division would start at line 5 and go through line 15. Through lines 14.
Okay.
Excuse me.
Thank you. That was my question there. All right. Which division did you want to speak on first?
Division 3 should be lines 17 through the period on line 24.
All right. Go ahead.
Excuse me. Did I say it wrong? Oh, excuse me. And Mr. Chairman, I'll defer to Mr. Meyer, I think, wishes to withdraw this division.
Senator Massey.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'm not sure that's divisible the way that it was laid out, simply because every division has to stand on its own. And I'm not sure that you can just simply pare out that last sentence of paragraph C and have it stand on its own. So I think that it has to go along with the rest of the paragraph, including page 2, lines 19 through 21, delete and insert. I don't think you can just simply parse off that last sentence and let it stand on its own.
I believe you're correct. Yeah. So we could we could eliminate division 4, and that last sentence would go with division 3. Senator Meyer.
Mr. President, if we could just withdraw the part of subparagraph, I would withdraw the part of subparagraph C, which is at issue, and then the rest of it would stand on its own, if that would be all right with the body. Well, Mr. President, it would be line 17 through 24 to the word offense and period. I would withdraw that part of the amendment at this time, if that would be appropriate.
Without objections, line 17 through 24 up to the period, offense period, has been withdrawn.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, may I make a suggestion here that you want to withdraw line 17 after the C parenthesis, because you need that.
All right. I believe it needs to be left so the withdrawal part would be after C. We need to leave C in there, which speaks to the violation. Senator Meyer, then.
Yes, Mr. President, that's withdrawal that I'm with the help of the good senator from Natrona County, I think we have in a proper form now.
Senator Burns.
Mr. President, I believe you have to withdraw line 15 also, because without that, it says page 2, lines 19 through 21, delete and insert, colon, and then nothing. And then, and Mr. President, then if you do that, then C stands by itself. It stays in the bill the way it is.
Yes. Senator Scott.
Point of order, I would disagree with that if you leave in line 15, then you take out the existing C, and then you would have a new C that reads, C, the driver who violates this section may be issued a citation and may be subject to a fine not more than $25. And that works. Leaving the existing C in and then having this sentence hanging with the new C just doesn't work. So the way you've, Senator Meyer has it, is a workable version.
Senator Burns.
Mr. President, I agree with that. I thought the sponsor was withdrawing the entire amendment, not the entire paragraph, not leaving the part in there. And the good senator from Natrona is absolutely right.
Okay. Senator Meyer, did you want to address this? Which division?
Senator from Natrona County would want to speak toward any of those divisions at this point in time. That would be fine, Mr. President.
Okay, we're on Division 1. Senator Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. President. On Division 1, what this does is this takes it right now, it's everywhere. This is a blanket prohibition statewide, regardless of whether you're driving down your driveway, driving a tractor across your field, or anywhere else. This puts it back on the public streets and highways, which is where we involve other individuals, you encounter other traffic, and so I think it gets and starts to narrow this thing down to where it starts to make some sense of where and how it can, when in the rare occasion it will be enforced.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, I've got a question. And frankly, I'm not too worried about a
vehicle on private land. If I go do that and wind up in my irrigation ditch in consequence, that's kind of my problem. The highway patrol isn't going to bother me without coming well outside their jurisdiction and trespassing. The place where I think that they might this might actually cause trouble is if somebody is driving in the urban setting and is texting, pulls up to a stoplight, and the patrolman can see that they're texting, and there they could see where they're texting. Then you've all of a sudden, that's not an offense till the stoplight changes and he goes forward. If he just sits there and obstructs the traffic, you don't have an offense. So I think the first part of this amendment might cause a certain degree of difficulty, Mr. President.
Senator Massey.
Thank you, Mr. President. Again, just the mechanics of this division here. Does the first part of page 1, line 16, delete using, is that going with this section 2? It needs to for it to read well and make sense.
Well, the current division would not be in it. It would, I believe, would then page 2 delete a read. Senator von Kleiderman.
If we were to include the next one in the next line 6 of our amendment into the first part, the last word in that sentence also needs to go with the next section. So they couldn't just comprehensively put line 6 of our amendment into the first amendment. That, or at the end of that, needs to go on to the second division.
Senator Geis.
This bill back 24 hours without precedent and let them get their act together.
Mr. President, thank you. I think everybody knows that the former inhabitant of this office space that I've been granted for a little bit of time has moved on to the eastern part of the United States to do some work back there. I'm really pleased to introduce to you his chief of staff, Senator Brasso's chief of staff. Sean Whitman is up in our gallery. I'd like for my fellow senators to make him feel welcome.
Senate File 40, sponsored by Senator Cooper, Establishment of Highways.
Senate File 40.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, a little explanation of the motion, and then I'll make the motion, I guess, but we are invited, as you know, to have lunch with the National Guard today. I think they were going to furnish transportation, and the house is already out. I asked staff to call General Wright and tell him that we're a little late, but what I want to do is add some time on the return to accommodate for the time that we lost in on our adjournment. So with that, Mr. President, I would move that the Senate be at recess until 2:30 this afternoon.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, your Corporations Committee is going to continue the meeting that we begun this morning and was noticed yesterday. This is on one bill only. It's the Limited Liability Company Bill. I believe it's Senate File 18, Limited Liability Company Revisions. We're going to intend to continue that discussion upon the final recess today. And once again, it's only a continuation of this morning's meeting so we get that bill done and get it in the hopper. Thank you, Mr. President.
I'm okay, Mr. President. Your committee, number five, Agriculture, Public Land, and Water Resources, will meet upon adjournment tonight to handle Senate File 36, Gillette Madison Water Project, Senate File 37, Ominous Water Bill Construction, Senate File 63, Irrigation District Assessments.
Thank you. Now I'm ready. Mr. President, your committee number three, Revenue, will meet at quarter to one up in the far corner to take up Senate File 47, Parimutuel Wagering, Simulcasting. Senate File 28, State Loan and Investment Board, Loan Refinancing, and Senate File 58, Eminent Domain Limitations.
Mr. President, your committee number six, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, will meet in the meeting room upstairs here, where we will take up Senate File 43, Game and Fish Special Hunting Season Extension, Senate File 69, Natural Resource Large Project Funding, and Senate File 70, Local Prohibition of Poker. I'm sorry, Mr. President. We'll be meeting at 12:45.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your committee number one, Judiciary, will meet tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. in S1 to consider the following bills. Senate File 8, Medical Support of Children. Senate File 9, Juvenile Detention Facility Standards. And Senate File 30, Sex Offender Registration, Multiple Addresses.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your committee number nine, Minerals Economic Development, will meet tomorrow, 15 minutes after the noon adjournment, to consider Senate File 31, Federal Natural Resources Policy Account, Senate File 66, Industrial Siting Amendments, and Senate File 52, Reduced Cigarette Ignition Propensity. And we will meet in S18.
Senator Massey.
Mr. President, earlier I had announced that the Cancer Control Consortium luncheon would be in the Hersler building. Updated information indicates that it's going to be instead in the Hathaway building basement, B24.
You've heard the announcement of the Senate, Senator Anderson.
Last minute, the National Guard bus is outside waiting for us, so if you plan to go, make your way out there as quickly as possible. Thank you.
You have heard the motion. The Senate shall stand recess until 2:30 p.m. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. We are in recess.